About 1800 years ago, a powerful super eruption of the Taupo volcano resulted in a plume of ash. Tens of meters of pumice and ash and lava flow spread up to 90 kilometers. It was the most violent eruption the world had seen for some 5,000 years. Last year, a volcanic alert for Taupo was issued. For the first time, the supervolcano has entered a period of unrest. And while a large eruption is not likely, there is a small possibility of a minor one. GNS volcanologist Graham Leonard joins us again. Kia ora, Graham. How are you?
Oh, kia ora. Good morning. I'm really well. Thank you.
That would have been a big one, 1800 years. Not as big as the 25,500 year ago Rua Nui eruption, right?
No, that's right. They're both called era-forming eruptions, but the super eruption, by definition, was the one back 26,000 years ago that formed the basin that's got the lake in it now. And it was deepened again about 1,800 years ago.
So there was a lake, and then there was an eruption underneath the lake, which created an even deeper caldera, and thus we have the lake now.
Yeah, that's right. And it can be really hard to get your head around these volcanoes because they're caldera volcanoes and they're quite special and unusual. And that's what makes them really interesting. This is the type of volcano I cut my teeth on when I started working in volcanology 20, 25 years ago. And the word is caldera. And it talks about a volcano that never was a pointy volcano in the first place. And I guess that's the first unusual bit. So Taupo and the in the south part of Ahitupua, and I'll come back to that. Taupo used to just be flat land, and then a super pancake of magma formed underneath a different shaped kind of long lake about 27,000 years ago, and it built up over a couple of hundred years, and then it erupted in one massive event. And the magma chamber couldn't hold the ground over it up anymore, and so it collapsed down. That flat ground collapsed down and left a basin that then filled with Lake Taupo. The same process has formed the Lake Rotorua Basin and the Reparoa Basin and other areas in that wider complex. And actually, we've got a name for that complex now. The area from Taupo right through Tarawera up to Lake Rotoma is actually one caldera complex. And it's been gifted the name Te Ahitupua, which has been gifted by Ngāti Tuwharatoa and Te Arawa, our partners in research and monitoring on these volcano system. And Te Ahitupua is the big brother to Yellowstone caldera complex in the U.S.
The big brother.
The big brother, that's wow. Right.
And when you say it's a caldera complex, how many caldera in Te Ahitupua?
That's a difficult question to answer. There are at least 8 locations we know of that have had caldera collapses, but there must have been at least 25 or 30 caldera collapses over the last 2 million years in the area, or the last 1.6 million years to be precise, making up to Ahitupua. But I guess the other really important point here is the caldera collapses and the super eruptions are something we study in detail, and actually this unrest has come at a good time. We're coming to the end of a large research program, ECLIPSE, which is short for Eruption or Catastrophe, Learning to Implement Preparedness for Supervolcano Eruptions. And really, it's about trying to understand the difference between these huge super eruptions and actually preparing for the real eruptions that might happen. And that research is in collaboration with Mana Whenua, local iwi, Tuwharatoa and Te Arawa especially, Ngāti Rangitihi and Ngāti Awa as well, with civil defense and various universities, especially led by Victoria University here in Wellington and Massey University. And over those 5 years, we've really come to understand these volcanoes more, that the complex is made up of many calderas, but most importantly, almost all of the eruptions are not huge caldera-forming eruptions. They're not super eruptions. It's a really interesting point how that landscape formed. But what we're dealing with is an area that rarely erupts, and when it erupts, it almost always erupts in kind of a manageable, more like the size you'd have seen from Ruapehu in 95-96, or a manageable away, not these super eruptions. So they're an interesting point, but there's a reassurance we're not expecting to see these super eruptions in our lifetime.
What makes a super eruption? Is it just obvious the magma pressure builds up?
It's the volume of magma that builds up. There's something unusual about the magma that comes and builds up in the crust under these caldera complexes. It's called rhyolite magma. It produces light-coloured, light grey rock and cream-coloured pumice. And it's very sticky magma. It builds up in big volumes. And we think the magma systems are 5 or 10 kilometres down below the ground. And it builds up, and it doesn't erupt very often. But because it's so sticky, when it does erupt, it tends to have trouble letting the gas out, and the gas blows it apart into, you know, really quite explosive eruptions. Very different to what we see at cone volcanoes, stratovolcanoes like Ruapehu and Tongariro that we talked about last time I was on. And it takes quite a bit to get our heads around these volcanoes. The other interesting thing with them is that the magma sits down there and doesn't erupt most of the time, but it often moves around. It often gets, rejuvenated from deeper down under in the crust, and it jiggles around a bit, and that's what's been going on over the last year, and it's normal. It's normal for Taupo, and it's normal for the other kind of active bit of Te Ahi Tupua in the north around Mount Tarawera, which we call Okataina. It's normal for these areas to have magma in the ground. We know there's magma under Lake Taupo, and it's normal for it to move around occasionally. It probably moves around like this once, twice, or three times a decade. The last time we saw it was in 2019, and then before that, 2008. And actually, at Taupo, we've seen it move around and have some minor unrest probably about 18 times in the last 150 years. But it only erupts. We've seen it erupt probably about 25 times in the last 12,000 years. So it's hundreds of years to perhaps 1,000 years apart between eruptions.
So the crucial question for all your research in the last 5 years with your eclipse program,
yes,
is, do you know whether the unrest is in fact going to lead to an eruption ever?
Yeah, and that's a difficult one to predict definitively, but what we think is periods of unrest, the extremely low chance of an eruption does go up a bit. When we've got what we call minor unrest, so we've moved to alert level one this time, when it gets to minor unrest, the chance of an eruption has gone up a bit, but it's still extremely unlikely to have an eruption during minor unrest. In almost all cases, like we've seen in the three times in the last 15 years, it goes back down. What we're really watching is for any further escalation signs, so where we see more ground shaking and more deformation. In this unrest episode, we've seen a total of a couple of thousand earthquakes that we can detect and locate. We've seen ground deformation of about a few centimetres, especially at Horomatangi Reef in the middle of the lake, where we've got a sensor location. And then it's quietened back down. The deformation signals, the unrest signals at the moment are quite low. We're not seeing any deformation anymore. That's dropped off in the last few months. And the earthquakes are dropping off as well. So at the moment, we're at the lower end of our alert level one minor unrest.
Is there tectonic plate action going on as well? Or is it all magma?
That's a good point. There is a complicating factor here that this is part of a long zone of volcanoes all the way from Ruapehu to Whakaari offshore, Taupo volcanic zone, and it continues all the way up to Tonga along the plate boundary. And along with the volcanoes, there is a series of fault lines as well, and they're quite intimately related. One of the things we've looked at in detail is how earthquakes on fault lines through this area work with the magma systems and work with the eruptions. And there are often earthquakes associated with eruptions and eruptions associated with earthquakes. The Taupo area often feels earthquakes. People in Taupo are quite familiar with them. And they're not all from magma moving around. A lot of the earthquakes people will have felt in their lifetime in the Taupo through to Tarawera Bay of Plenty area will just be from the fault lines moving. And you hit on the key point. It's all driven by the plate boundary. So the New Zealand sits astride this plate boundary. The Pacific plate is being pushed down under, subducting under the North Island, and it's generating fault lines and earthquakes, but it's also generating magma. And they kind of both come hand in hand in that zone from Ruapehu through Taupo up to the Bay of Plenty.
So if you'd been around 1,800 years ago and there had been people living around the lake, would you have been able to know enough to tell them to clear out because there was going to be a massive eruption?
Yes, I think so. I think that the key thing with the big caldera events is we're talking about tens to hundreds of cubic kilometers of magma building up in the crust and then erupting. So, and becoming unstable and ready to erupt. So what we're really watching for in terms of any eruptions is how much that's escalating. And before these big caldera-forming events, a lot of magma needs to assemble and it needs to become really unstable. So we'd see high levels of earthquakes, high levels of ground deformation, much more than we've seen in any time historically. And actually, at the super end of things, we think it probably takes one or two generations, human generations of time, of elevated unrest to even build up that magma. So even if we started seeing those high rates now, we think it would be, you know, a couple of human generations, a couple of hundred years to build up before we could see super eruptions. So they're an interesting point, and it's fascinating to learn about calderas and those eruptions, but we can be reassured that we don't think we're in a position where that's built up in the crust now. And it's more about thinking about the impacts from ground shaking, earthquakes, some deformation, living around Lake Taupo or in the Tarawera area, rather than being worried about the super end of things and being prepared for that extremely unlikely chance of the much more common eruptions where they're manageable and recoverable, much more like what we've seen from, you know, Ruapehu and its biggest events in history.
So if the magma comes up and puts pressure on and causes unrest, where does it then go?
It resides there in the crust, and part of the reason we have fault lines through that area is they're what we call extensional faults. They're normal faults. What's happening in what we call the Taupo Rift, the set of fault lines that go through from Ruapehu through Taupo to the Bay of Plenty, is that the ground is spreading apart there, and it's partly spreading apart because of the magma. That area is getting wider, and it's accommodating the magma building up in the crust. So what we've actually seen is, thousands of cubic kilometers of magma build up in the crust, and the vast majority of it has not erupted. It's sitting down there just residing and cooling away. It's a mixture of crystals and mushy magma that are cooling away. And actually what happens ultimately when rhyolite magma from these kinds of volcanoes cools down, when the volcano goes to sleep, becomes extinct, the rock left behind is granite. So the vast majority of the stuff's left in the crust, and it finally cools down and becomes granite, the type of stuff you build your kitchen bench out of.
Wow. And we get nearly 20% of our power from geothermal, specifically from caldera volcanoes?
That's right. There's so much heat in the ground there. You think about all of that magma building up deep in the crust and in those shallower chambers, a lot of it not erupting, but occasionally moving around in unrest, which is quite normal. It is putting a huge amount of heat into the crust. So the ground naturally in this area is much hotter than around the rest of the planet. And it's heating up groundwater, and it's got fluid in it itself, and that creates quite large geothermal systems. And we've got those, at Wairaki and at Rotokawa and many in between. And a lot of these have been able to be tapped into to spin turbines and generate geothermal power, quite sustainable green power from the heat of the magma underground. And you're right, it's generating about 20% of the nation's power at the moment and probably growing.
If I were living on the banks of Lake Taupo, I would want to know that somebody was in charge of telling me when to get out if necessary. Do you think that's true?
Definitely, yeah. Okay. So we plan for this with a caldera advisory group with our partners at local and regional civil defence. So Taupo Civil Defence and the regional Waikato and more broadly over in Bay of Plenty Civil Defence, they're in charge of managing the risk from the many things that the public need to worry about, from volcanoes through to earthquakes and flooding and other things. And so they've got plans in place, and we help them understand what the volcanic eruptions might be. They interpret the forecasts that we're giving, and they're responsible for giving that advice and helping the public stay safe. If the very unlikely chance of escalation happened in any one of these unrest episodes, they would be the ones putting those plans into place. But with scientific advice from us and with our partnership with Mana Whenua.
Whakaari White Island didn't work so well though, did it?
No, Whakaari White Island is a real tragedy. A dramatic event for all of the country, really. And I guess I can't talk too much more about that at the moment.
No.
Because we've got a...
Under investigation.
Yeah, major at the moment.
Good to talk to you, Graham. Thank you. Graham Leonard, GNS volcanologist.